How do we treat loans with 401k accounts? So probably the most misunderstood concept in Quadroland, the land where I practice, is loans against 401k accounts. It is just atrocious how wrong family law attorneys and clients get it. So let's go through some concepts here because it's really important. There are so many clients that get this wrong and over or underpay their exes. So when you do a loan against a credit card, okay, so I got a $5,000 balance against a credit card, right? And then I pay it off. The value of that credit card is zero. It's not worth anything at all. Because when you run the credit card, it has a negative value. It has an obligation that you have to pay. So when you pay it off, it's worth zero. However, if you do a $5,000 loan against a 401k, you've lowered the value of that 401k by $5,000. And when you pay it back, you've increased the value of that 401k by $5,000. So the account holder is both the banker and the lender. Okay, so one of the most incorrect things that I see in judgments is, and I see it so frequently, is the parties shall jointly pay off the loan and the 401k. And then they award the 401k to the account holder. So the former spouse has now paid off a loan and given some of their separate property to the account holder. Let's do an example because it can be tough to wrap your head around this. So let's say I had a dollar in my account before data separation, and then my wife and I took out a 20-cent loan. Okay, and the 20 cents was spent on groceries. Okay, so it's agreed that it's a community property loan. It's not spent on, you know, the side girlfriend or anything like that. It's a community property loan that we both jointly benefited from. Okay, and then we separate. Okay, and we now have a choice. Okay, we can either exclude the loan. And excluding the loan means that it's not added back in as an asset, okay? Because a loan to the account holder is both a debt and an asset. So if we exclude it, in the Quadro, my ex gets 40 cents. I get 40 cents. I also get an obligation to pay back the 20 cents. But when I pay it back, I'm now going to have 60 cents. And she's going to have 40 cents, which is correct because that 20 cents that I used to pay back is my separate property if I pay it back after separation. So that's one way to do it. Another way to do it is to include the loan. So if we include the loan, we say let's add it back in as if it were paid off right before separation. That's what including the loan means. So my ex gets 50 cents. I get 30 cents, remember, because there's only 80 cents in the account. And then we agree, if you're doing it correctly, we agree that my ex is going to pay me 10 cents, and I'm going to use 10 cents of my separate property money to pay off the loan. Okay, so then effectively, she is getting 40 cents in community value because she's getting paid 50 cents. But then she's turning right around and then out of her bank account, giving me 10 cents back. All right, so she has 40 cents in value, effectively. And I'm getting 40 cents in value of community, all right? So I get the 30 cents that I got upon split, plus the 10 cents that she gives me back. So there's my 40 cents. And then I'm taking another 10 cents of my separate property and putting it in there to bring me back up to 50 cents, but 10 cents of that is separate property. So that's how you deal with those situations, or at least conceptually, you got to understand these sorts of things to make sure that you're not double paying someone to pay off a loan. What is incorrect oftentimes is you look at the account statement from date of separation and it says it's 80 cents. And so you say, let's give the ex their 40 cents, and they're going to pay back one half the loan. Well, what you've done there is now you've given me 40 cents in value and an obligation to my ex to pay me 10 cents, half the loan. Okay, if you have these agreements in the judgments that say each party's going to pay off one half the loan, now I end up in 40 cents from the account, 10 cents from my ex, I get 50 cents, and she gets 30 cents in value. She has the 40 cents that she got of the 80 cents that was in the account, and then she turned around and gave me an additional 10 cents. And so she ends up with 30 cents, I end up with 50 cents, and you have an unequal division of that account. Obviously, I'm using a dollar as an example, but in real life, the numbers are much greater. And so, especially with the IRS limit of $50,000 loans, you know, this math can be incorrect to the tune of several thousands or tens of thousands of dollars. And I've seen it happen on multiple occasions. I see that in the judgment and I think, oh, wow, that's no good. Some attorney or some party didn't understand the math on that correctly. So make sure you're paying attention to these loan transactions. The other thing to note is it matters. The valuation date in the quadro matters. Okay. So when you're doing a valuation date in a quadro and you say plan administrator divided as of date of separation, what you're really doing is saying plan administrator, let's all get into our Marty McFly Back to the Future time machine and let's mathematically divide the account as of that date. Okay. So I am less concerned if we're going to use a valuation date of date of separation. I'm not so concerned what the account holder is doing after date of separation, if they're doing a loan or a distribution, as long as it's not the entire account, right? If they cash out the whole account, we're in trouble. But if they're taking a small distribution or a small loan after date of separation, those transactions are taking place after the valuation date, after that Marty McFly Back to the Future occurrence happens. Okay, so it's being charged or credited to the account holder only if the transaction occurs after. So another mistake that I see in these judgments is you got these family law attorneys that are trying to adjust for all these transactions at the date of trial, but they direct the quadro attorney to divide it as of date of separation. And I'm kind of like, well, by dividing it as of date of separation, that already takes care of all those transactions. So these additional repay this, adjust for this, you're creating a duplicate payment and you're overpaying someone or underpaying someone incorrectly, mathematically speaking, by doing those adjustments. And sometimes they bake it into the division of the assets. They say, well, you're going to get an extra car to compensate you for the transaction you did in your 401k after date of separation. And then they say, but the quadro attorney, we're directing you to divide it as the date of separation. Okay, so you've double adjusted and double counted that mathematical transaction so that one party is getting shot in the foot very badly, mathematically speaking.